Do you believe what God says of you? Do you believe what God says of you is the question. As a pastor, as I walk life with God's people, I have found that many of us doesn't believe of what God says we are. Who we don't believe or sees us as God sees us. As I walk with God's people, I have learned that often we see ourselves through the eyes of betrayal, through the eyes of hurt, through the eyes of the mistakes and the sins that we make, through the eyes of rejection. We fail to see ourselves or to believe what God says of us. And throughout this series, we are going to explore, who am I and how is it that God sees me? And just to start, I need you to understand that the theme of the sermon for you today, it is the message that I want you to understand, is that this is that God sees you as His children, as His child, and He delights in you. We don't only believe and see us as God sees us, we also don't understand and can accept that we are children of God. I love John chapter 1, verses 12, that says this: but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. I believe that when we start to understand who we are and how God sees us, I think that when we go through that process of learning, of seeing us, that God sees us, a lot of things get to fall away from our lives and we start to live in new life. I believe that once we start to understand ourselves as God sees us, a lot of the lies that we believe will be broken. A lot of the lies that the world tried to tell to us will be broken. I believe that the strongholds that take hold of our lives will be broken. I think that the addictions that we keep falling back into it will be gone. And the shame and the bad habits can't be transformed into something new. Have you ever considered who your Creator and Heavenly Father sees when He looks at you? Have you ever considered that? I love Psalm 149, verse 4. It says this: for the eternal, He is listening, and nothing pleases Him more than His people. You and I, His people. God takes pleasure in us. When God looks at you, He sees the beauty that He created. When God looks at you, He sees His son and daughter. The Bible tells us that God wants everyone to see themselves in the same way as God sees them. I believe that as we start to explore this series, I believe that God wants you to know that you are known by God, that you are valued by God, and that God is caring for you even when you feel like you have failed Him. You have let Him down. God wants you to understand. God wants you to know that you are known, valued, and cared when you are filled with worries and anxiety. When you are worried about life and that you haven't met God's expectation, God wants to know that it doesn't matter if you have met His expectations or not. He knows you, He values you, and He cares for you. When you're struggling and can't get out of bed, God wants you to know that He is listening to you, that nothing takes more pleasure in His life than to be invested in your life, in your struggles, so that you can beat it. When you feel stressed and burnt out, God wants you to know that He's listening and that He knows you. He knows what you're going through. He values you for who you are and He cares for you. But I find that That's not how we live our lives. I find that that's not what really, really takes hold of our hearts and of our minds. We're so worried about what the world is thinking, what people around us is thinking. And we forget that what really matters the most is what God says of us. I have a statement for you here that I really want you to embrace it. I really want you to write it down and to put it on your refrigerator and remember this statement. The more we are concerned with what God thinks of us, the less we'll be worried about what other people think of us. There is freedom in knowing how God sees us and what He thinks of us. God looks at you with the same awe and wonder we have when you see the sun rise and the sun set. I love this because it is important for you to understand that the God who thought of the sun, who thought of the moon, who thought of the sky and the water and the fish and the bird and all of creation, He thought of you also. He thought of you. He created you. You are His creation. And we look outside and we see all the beauty out there and we forget that we are worth more than all of that. That God is invested in our lives and He cares for us in such a way that He wants us to see ourselves as He sees us. Beautifully and wonderfully made, worthy of every single thing. But here's the thing though. There's a lie that we all believe that I think as we're going through this series, I need to clear that lie. And I need to speak the word of God into our lives so that we are in the same page here. The lie that people believe that we are all children of God. The lies that people believe out there is that we are all, and even in the church today, that we are all children of God. It is not uncommon to hear people from different faith claim that we are all worshiping the same God. Have you ever talked to someone from a different religion background than Christianity, and they say, well, we all worship the same God. Have you ever been there, talked to people about that? As you're talking to them, at the same time, many of these same people will make the claim that we are all children of God. But if we study the Bible a little bit and explore the biblical teaching, we'll find that that's not true. Although it is true that God has created everyone, not everyone relationally belongs to Him. And I think that's the statement that is very important for us to understand this morning, that although it is true that God has created every single one of us, right? Everything that has in the world that was created by God, through Jesus, and for God, and creation. Yes, we all have been created and we are worth the same, but relationally, not everybody belongs to God. And 1 John, the verses that we read in the beginning of this sermon, really specify for us who are the children of God. So let me read it for you, 1 John again. There's a couple of conditions here, right? But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Listen, only those who receive God, only those who receive Jesus, only those who believe in the name of Jesus has the right to become children of God. Only those who have repented of their sins, only those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and possesses the Holy Spirit in their life can claim the benefits of being in the family of God. I mean, Galatians, Paul also affirms that. And in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 29, we read this. For in Christ Jesus, not outside of Jesus Christ, only in Christ Jesus, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons and daughters of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring heirs according to the promise. I mean, Paul is very clear here. You have to be part of the family of God. And to be part of the family of God, you have to be in Christ Jesus to be sons and daughter of God. And that is only possible through faith. And I love the little word that he puts there. You have been baptized into Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. Paul, continuing on that same thought, says this: for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into. I love that part. Because a lot of us is falling back into that which God has already delivered us from. A lot of us are falling back into the things that God has already delivered us from. It. We're going back to the fears. We're going back to the addictions. We're going back to the things that drives us away from God when God has already delivered us from those things. What is that one thing you're falling back into it? What is that one thing that God has delivered you from it that you keep going back to it? God has given you a spirit, not of slavery, to fall back into it, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughter, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. I love that part. See, here's the thing. A lot of us in the church, we want to judge people and tell who is and who is not children of God. Have you ever played that game? We look at people out there and you say, children of God, not so much. I mean, we go through that daily. We are often thinking that we have the means to judge people if they are or not children of God. And Paul says this, the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You yourself have that confirmation in your heart, in your life, if you are or if you are not children of God. Isn't that great? That God himself put a thermometer in your life to tell you if you're hot or you're cold. God himself, through his spirit, allows you to know in your heart and in your own being that if you are or not. I don't need to tell you. It's not my business. I'm not your daddy. God is, or he's not. Depending on John 1:12, if you have received and if you have believed. So Paul points us back to John chapter 1 and verse 12. And I need to break it down for you. This is two steps that is very important that is described on John chapter 1 verse 12. He says, but to all who did receive. I mean, the first step into becoming part of the family of God is that you have to receive Jesus. There's no other way around, right? And I love the word receive here. I have it up there for you in the Greek. It's the word lambano. And the definition of the word lambano is this: to actively take it in whatever, take it in whatever manner. Take it to actively take in whatever manner. Which means is this, is that you have to accept Jesus. You need to receive Jesus in the manner that he has been presented to you. A lot of us in the church, we want to receive Jesus as long as Jesus fit in into a box that we ourselves have created, right? So if Jesus is not like a genie who comes out and give me whatever I want whenever I want, then I'm not so long. I don't want to accept him at this time. I don't want to receive him at this time, right? We have all these stipulations in receiving Jesus. John is telling you here, there is no stipulations on your part. There is only receiving it. You receive Jesus as he has been presented to you. So if Jesus comes to you as a savior, welcome his salvation. If Jesus have come to you as a leader, welcome his leadership. If Jesus have come to you as your provider, accept his provision. If Jesus has come to you as a counselor, accept his counsel. If Jesus have come to you as your protector, accept his protection. If Jesus have come to you with authority, accept and humble yourself and welcome his authority. If Jesus come to you as king, you say, Jesus is king of my life. Receiving Jesus means taking Jesus into your life for who he is and not for who you want him to be or want him or want to use him to your own advantage. But it's not about receiving either. It is about believing, right? And the word believing there is the Greek word pisteo. So as we're exposing this passage here, is the word pisteo. And the definition of the word is this: to believe to the extent of complete trust and reliance. To have confidence in, to have faith in, to trust, faith, trust. So John is saying, but for all those who did receive him, who completely trust in his name, you are given the right to become children of God. If you don't receive, if you don't believe, I'm sorry, you cannot become children of God. The Bible is clear that when we accept, when we receive and believe and we are baptized in Jesus' name, and we believe in Jesus as our Savior, we are adopted into the family of God, and we are beneficiary sons and daughter of God. We are beneficiaries. There's great benefits that comes from being in Jesus, and we are wanted, we are accepted, and we are loved by Jesus himself, by God, the Father. When we are part of the family of God, Romans 8 and chapter 8 verse 15 and 16 and Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 and 29 affirms to us that we have few things in Jesus. There's some benefits of being in the family of God. Can I take a step aside here for a second? That was smooth, wasn't it? I know that the word father and family and adopted sometimes has bad connotation. I know sometimes our dads weren't good to us, and maybe he was abusive, and maybe so when you hear the word dad or father, you have some kind of bad feeling about it. I understand that, and maybe the word family, your family is a mess, as is mine. So, and when we hear the word family, we kind of like, oh man, I don't want to be part of another mess. I don't want to be part of another family. This is not how it goes. And maybe even the word adopted, you're like, adopted. That means somebody got rejected and left out. That's just not good words, right? Sometimes they feel like that. And let me redeem those and say, listen, we can't look at those words as the world presented it to us. We need to read those words as the Bible presents itself to us. To be a child of God is a privilege, and we have a good Father who is ready to want you, to accept you, and to love you for who you are and not who you want, who he wants you to be. He sees you for who you are, and he knows, he values, and he cares for you at the moment that you have arrived. He's not going to abuse you. It's not the kind of God he is. He's not going to hurt you. That's not the kind of God he is. He's going to love you. So we need to see God, not through the lenses of our own experiences, but through the lenses of what the Word of God teaches us. But being part of, let's go back to the sermon here and say, you know, we have some benefits of being in Christ. So here are some of them. I'll go through them a little fast here. You have forgiveness and salvation. When we repent from our sins, we put our trust in Jesus and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We become a part of his family. We become children of God, and not by our earning favors with God, but by faith. And when we become a family of God, God doesn't hold a grudge as we do. So he forgives us and he saves us from the consequences of the sins that we have committed. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19 talks about that. We have security, right? We are not to fear, but to enjoy the sonship. God's not going to reject us. We can reject God at any moment of our journey with Him, but God will never reject you. He's always going to pursue you, accept you, and love you. So there's security in being in Jesus. You have authority. When God sees you, He sees you as a powerful guy and a powerful girl who has authority under His name. The children of God is given authority. They're not servants. They are children. And they're given authority over sin and the devil. A lot of us don't think we have the authority and the power to withstand against the enemy and to withstand against our own sins. You have everything you need in you through the Holy Spirit to stop some of the sins in your life. Well, Pastor said, why do you say some? Because there are some that you don't want to overcome. Because you like it so much. But for the painful ones, you can overcome those. And then when the ones you like become painful enough, you can overcome those too. You have power to overcome all the sins in your life. We should have confidence and poise. We have intimacy with God. That's another thing that the benefit that we have. We can come to God at any time, at any moment. Remember Psalm 149, that says that God is listening to us. Listen, we don't think that God is a God who is present and active in our lives. We believe at times that God created the universe and He spinned the whole darn thing and He set it on His throne and He's just watching it, spinning it around. We don't believe that God is involved at all. He's not involved in our lives, that He cares, that he wants to be there, that He knows what's going on, or he values us. But that's not true. The Bible tells us, and we read in Romans, that we can say Abba Father, in Galatians, that we can call Abba Father. We have assurance. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit of God is telling you right now in your heart, God really loves you. You have inheritance. This means that we have an incredible future with God. What Paul is saying is that what is in store for us is so grand, is so glorious, that you won't be able to understand it on this side of life. Another thing we have is family likeness. I love when Paul tells us for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption of sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testify of it. That means that we have this likeness of God. We have been given this Spirit that mold our lives. And in Galatians, he says, for in Christ Jesus, we are in Christ. That means we have a likeness. We are like Jesus. We have this family likeness. There's so many benefits of being in Jesus. When you are part of the family of God, we have a relationship with the Father, and that relationship makes us beneficiary. And God wants to embrace us. And the benefits of being in His family is that we get to be who He wants us to be. And He wants you to see yourself in the same light as He sees you. Because until then, you're going to continue to live the old same life. So, to end the sermon, I have different I am statements. I put in the I am because you need to embrace it. You need to believe it. Because so many times we don't live as God has planned for us to live because we can't understand who we are, right? How He sees us. So we're going to understand a little bit of who we are and how God sees us so that we can live that out into the world. So I made it an I am statement so that you and I can embrace them, all right? So make notes of them. Maybe pick one of them that you have struggled with. This I am statement, like if you struggle with one of them, make a note, write it down, and meditate it through the week on one of them. Just meditate it, whatever is most difficult for you. So God sees you as born again by the Holy Spirit. So I put, I am born again by the Holy Spirit. I love John chapter 3, verses 3 and 6 that says this. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. This passage has been so complicated in people's mind out there. Let me clarify for you. You are spiritual people. God gave birth to you. That means that you originated from God. You came from God. No one else, not your mom and dad, nor whoever you think you came from. God is your origin. So we are born of God. We are spiritual people. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. We are born of God. We are spiritual people. God sees you as a new creation. When God sees you, He sees you through the lenses of Jesus. And we need to understand this. I am a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. Behold, the new have come. And so many of us fail to understand, to see ourselves as new creation, being born of God. Therefore, we continue to fall back on the old self. Continue to do the old same things, reaping the old same consequences. God sees you as a new creation. And I think once you start to see yourself as a new creation, with a new lifestyle, with a new habits to live in, with no shame, with no guilty, your life will be a life of freedom. I am righteous and holy because God sees you as righteous and holy. Ephesians chapter 4 verses 24 says this, and put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So many of us don't see ourselves through the lenses of righteousness and holiness. If I ask you to define yourselves, most of the times you define yourselves through your sins, through the mistakes, through the rejection. And God is looking at you like, no, you are righteous. You can live righteous life. You're holy. You can live a holy life. I love that. Put on a new self. It's like put it on clothes, right? The analogy Paul is using here is like, go clothe yourself. Put on some clothes that God created to be like Him in righteousness and holiness. So many of us, we are walking naked in life, forgetting to put the clothes that God has already provided for us. And I don't know about you, it can be really cold outside. I'd rather put some clothes on. God sees you as righteous and holy. But it's not only this. I love this next one because it really brings freedom to me. Every time I read this next one, it brings freedom to me. God sees me as a victor, as victorious one. I am a victor. That's the word there. I love that word. It means that I am a champion. I have conquered. Like, that's what Romans 8:37 says. Now, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Listen, God has given everything we need to beat the odds, to beat the giant, to beat the difficulties of life, to beat the addictions, to beat the problems, to beat the conflict, to beat the financial problems. He has given us this ability to conquer, not because of what we do, through Him who loved us. We fail to understand that Christ has already won the battle. And He has given you the trophy. The only thing this verse is trying to tell you is this. Go parade with God on the victories that He has already won for your life. We get the title. God does the work. What else do you want? So many of us, we want to do the work, and God's like, no, I'm already giving you the trophy. I already fought there for you. You just have to enjoy it. But so many times, instead of parading with God, we are fighting and we are losing because we don't see ourselves as the victorious one. I'm heavenly. So many of us see ourselves as earthly people, and God's like, no, you're not earthly. You're heavenly. You're not made for this world. You are made from, I created you, and I created you for myself. Colossians tells us that. But here's in Hebrews chapter 3 tells us this. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. The author of Hebrews said, listen, you have a heavenly calling. You're not to fulfill yourselves with material things or earthly things. No, you are to focus on Jesus. This next one is so important to me too. I am royalty. Being a kid from Brazil and coming to a new nation, like, status is everything, right? And knowing who you are, where you belong, and the importance of the scale in within people and worth. So, like, when I read this, I say, like, man, in God, I have every value that I can have. There's no division. There's no separation. My value as a foreigner comes from God himself. And royalty, so it becomes a great word for me personally. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this, but you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are royalty. There is royalty running into your veins. I love this here because this whole verse is very important to me, and should it be for you too. And I need you to give me a second here. Let me explain this for you here. Really, really important. But you are chosen people. Do you know that God chose you? Do you know that God of the universe, who created all that is in there, he looked at you and he said, you are mine. Do you know that God could have chosen anybody else, but he chose you in your imperfections? God went out and he said, you are mine. I mean, that's humbling to me to know that the God who created the universe, the stars, and the galaxies came down and looked at me and said, you, Sam Rosa. How do you feel about that? That God not only knows you, he chose you. And he brought you into his family and to his nation, and God calls you a special possession. He not only called you, he says, you are special to me. I don't know about you, but if you have anything that is special to you in life, or if there is any possession that is special for you, and I you know, I didn't grow up with a lot of special things, but I go to my in-laws' house, and there's always something special there. Have you ever been in a house with someone who has a china? Right? What can you do in that room who has a china? Nothing. Right? Don't breathe in there, because if something falls and breaks, guess what? You're going to be all chined up. Right? Special possession. Do you know that you're God's china? Do you know that you're special to God to the point that he protects you so much? He wants nothing to touch you to break it. But he does all of that so that you can declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. He not only called you, he not only chose you, he gave you a purpose. That for me is humbling to know that the God who created me, who is perfect and good and kind and loving, he looked at me, he chose me, and he said, go out into the world, messed up Sam, and represent me out there in Delaware. That for me is humbling to know that God entrusted me with this great ability and possibility of representing himself into the world. Because you are designed for good works. He sees you as someone who is handiwork of his. For we are God's handiwork, creating Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us. We are also called heirs with Christ. Romans 8:17 tells us, now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. Everything that is Christ's is ours. The last one, the last thing that God sees you is that, and I say this in the I statement, I am chosen and called by God to produce good fruits. God sees you as good. Good people who does good things for others and for God. John 15:16 says this, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. It just emphasizes 1 Peter. You did not choose God. God chose you. And He has appointed you so that you may bear good fruit. God is like, listen, I chose you and I give you a purpose, and go out and live that purpose out. And I love this last part that says this, and whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Children have benefits. And to be a children of God comes with a lot of great benefits. And one of them is that God listens to you. So ask. 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 And the Father will give you. This is, see, it is important that you speak these truths of how God sees you as a bold declaration, a loud declaration into your life. The power of life and death is in the tongue. It is vital that you only allow the truth to come out of your mouth. It could not be different between, it could be the difference between an amazing life and a disappointing life, what comes out of your mouth. So I pray that this week you would see yourself as God sees you, as born again, as new creations, as righteous and holy, as victorious one, as heavenly, as royalty, as good, as co-heir with Jesus, and chosen to do good works. Let me pray. Father God, so many times it's hard for us to accept the truth, the reality of who we are. So many times we're so concerned with what other people say, and we're so worried about what other people think that we lose our senses, and we lose the grounding that comes from your word, what you say. Let us be concerned with what you think and what you say, and a lot less concerned with what other people think and what other people say. And you call us children of God, co-heirs with Jesus Christ, born again into the family of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.